Well, tonight we finish up the book of Joel. So we're in Joel chapter 3, and we'll start the reading tonight in verse 12. Joel chapter 3, verse 12. Let's stand together that we might honor the reading of God's word. Joel chapter 3, verse 12. Let the nations be aroused and come up to the valley of Jehoshaphat, for there I will sit to judge all the surrounding nations. Put in the sickle, for the harvest is ripe. Come, tread, for the winepress is full. The vats overflow, for their wickedness is great. Multitudes, multitudes in the valley of decision. For the day of the Lord is near in the valley of decision. The sun and moon grow dark, and the stars lose their brightness. The Lord roars from Zion and utters his voice from Jerusalem. And the heavens and the earth tremble. But the Lord is a refuge for his people and a stronghold to the sons of Israel. Then you will know that I am the Lord your God, dwelling in Zion, my holy mountain. So Jerusalem will be holy, and strangers will pass through it no more. And will come about in that day that the mountains will drip with sweet wine, and the hills will flow with milk. And all the brooks of Judah will flow with water. And a spring will go out from the house of the Lord to water the valley of Shittim. Egypt will become a waste, and Edom will become a desolate wilderness because of the violence done to the sons of Judah, in whose land they have shed innocent blood. But Judah will be inhabited forever, and Jerusalem for all generations. And I will avenge their blood, which I have not avenged. For the Lord dwells in Zion. Lord, now as we seek to pull together this book of Joel, Lord, may this message be of help and encouragement to us tonight. For though Joel prophesies the day of the Lord, we see that this prophecy concludes with the millennial kingdom portion of the day of the Lord, in which the protection of Israel will be obvious, and you will dwell in their midst in your kingdom. And so, Lord, seeking first that kingdom, we look forward to this time. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, Joel has been prophesying in this book. He did it. He wrote during the reign of Jehoash, king of Judah. I've listed the scripture references for King Jehoash in your notes there. And you will recall that Joel in chapter 1 uses the drought and invasion of locusts, which likely occurred near the end of the reign of Queen Athaliah, Jehoash's grandmother. Because of her evil, she was extending the dynasty of Baal that was from her parents, Ahab and Jezebel, and her grandfather, Omri. And she even had all of her own grandsons killed, except she missed Jehoash, who was hidden away in the temple. But because of her evil, the Lord brought this drought and locust plague. Well, Joel uses that to warn and predict of the coming future day of the Lord. So we established all of that in the first message on chapter 1. But let's just review a little bit the verses on the day of the Lord, which are really what hold this book together. Chapter 1, verse 15, Joel said, "Alas for the day, for the day of the Lord is near, and it will come as destruction from the Almighty." Now, not everything about the day of the Lord is destruction. Not everything about the day of the Lord is judgment. But the first portion of it certainly is the tribulation period, those 7 years of the day of the Lord. Joel says that's coming. And so the implication is when that gets here, it's something like what the locust invasion of chapter 1 is like. Chapter 2, verse 1. "Blow a trumpet in Zion and sound an alarm on my holy mountain. Let all the inhabitants of the land tremble, for the day of the Lord is coming." A future day of the Lord. Chapter 2, verse 11. "The Lord utters his voice before his army. Surely his camp is very great, for strong is he who carries out his word. The day of the Lord is indeed great and very awesome. Who can endure it?" So these are talking about the future tribulation period. Chapter 2, verse 31. "The sun will be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before the great and awesome day of the Lord comes. And chapter 3, verse 14, which is where we're working tonight. Chapter 3, verse 14, multitudes, multitudes in the valley of decision, for the day of the Lord is near in the valley of decision. At the end of the tribulation period, and then transitioning into the millennial kingdom portion of the day of the Lord. The day of the Lord does not end when the tribulation ends. It begins when the tribulation begins, but it doesn't end when the tribulation ends. It continues on through the millennial kingdom and beyond, and includes the destruction of earth, the present heavens and the present earth. And that's 2 Peter chapter 3, and we've looked at that. So the kind of hymn ditty that's sung in some churches that goes, "World without end, amen, amen." That's not true. This world is going to end. It is. And that as well is part of the day of the Lord. So this runs throughout the entire book. Now, Joel, throughout the book, and we just looked at these day of the Lord statements, but Joel, throughout the book, prophesies of three sets of cosmic signs. These are end time blackouts in relation to the day of the Lord. One of those sets of cosmic signs is in chapter 2, verses 30 and 31. And you'll notice that this set of cosmic signs will be before the day of the Lord. Before. It's very important. Acts 2:30, wonders in the sky and on the earth, blood, fire, columns of smoke. The sun will be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before the great and awesome day of the Lord comes. So that is one of the end time blackouts. I've previously given you the list of all five end time blackouts, but only three of those five are in the book of Joel. And this first one is in the book of Joel. Then we have seen the second set of cosmic signs, the second end time blackout, is during the tribulation portion of the day of the Lord. And that is chapter 2, verse 10. Before them the earth quakes, the heavens tremble, the sun and the moon grow dark, and the stars lose their brightness. This is the third end time global blackout due to the demonic locust invasion of Revelation chapter 9 verse 2 that's part of the fifth trumpet judgment of the book of Revelation. So, understand, Joel 2:10 is during the tribulation. Joel 2:31 is before the tribulation. Don't get those mixed up. And Joel's third set of cosmic signs, we see here in our passage tonight, chapter 3, verse 15, the sun and moon grow dark, and the stars lose their brightness. This third set of Joel, which refers to the fifth end time blackout, will occur at the second coming of Jesus to earth at the end of the tribulation portion of the day of the Lord and transitioning to the millennial portion of the day of the Lord. I invite you to keep your place here in Joel 3 and look with me at Matthew chapter 24, verses 29 through 31. This is Jesus speaking in the Olivet Discourse. Matthew 24:29. But immediately after the tribulation of those days, the sun will be darkened and the moon will not give its light and the stars will fall from the sky. The powers of the heavens will be shaken. Then the sign of the Son of Man will appear in the sky. And then all the tribes of the earth will mourn, and they will see the Son of Man coming on the clouds of the sky with power and great glory. And he will send forth his angels with a great trumpet, and they will gather together his elect from the four winds, from one end of the sky to the other. Now notice, when did Jesus say that this end time blackout will occur? When did he say? He said, after the tribulation. Right? Can this end time blackout be the blackout of Joel 2:30 and 31? No. Because the blackout of Joel 2, 30 and 31 is before the day of the Lord. This is after the tribulation. Jesus is not quoting or referring to Joel 2, 30 and 31. Jesus is quoting from Joel chapter 3, verse 15. Joel chapter 3, verse 15 and Joel 2, 30 and 31 cannot be talking about the same end time blackout. They can't be talking about the same thing. Why? One of them is before the day of the Lord, and the other one is after the tribulation ends. It's at the second coming of Jesus. Jesus said in Matthew 24:30, this is when they will see the Son of Man coming. This is at the second coming of Jesus. So it's very important to keep those straight. If you keep those three straight, you will be able to read and understand the book of Joel. If you get those mixed up, which, dare I say it, the majority of those who have written commentaries on the book of Joel get them mixed up. And if you get them mixed up, you will not understand the book of Joel. So, this is very important, and we've looked at some of these details already in our journey through the book. So that is where we pick up tonight. And we looked at the judgment of the Gentiles in the Valley of Jehoshaphat last time. But remember, we pointed this out, but let's see it again tonight. In verse 12, the Lord says, "For there I will sit to judge all the surrounding nations." Messiah will be present on earth to judge the nations in the Valley of Jehoshaphat. That means the judgment of the nations in the Valley of Jehoshaphat is very, very soon after the second coming of Jesus on earth. So he's present on earth. He is present in Jerusalem, and he will be the one who judges in this judgment of the Gentiles in what verse 14 calls the Valley of Decisions. Decision, multitudes, multitudes. Now, I alluded last time, when we were talking about the Valley of Jehoshaphat, that conditions could be a little different at the second coming of Jesus, because the Mount of Olives will split and will cause the whole valley to divide to the north and the south. So the valley, even though what is the valley of Jehoshaphat that we would think of today is quite large, after the second coming of Jesus, it will be even larger. And so Jesus himself will be there. Remember, it's not been that long ago that we went through the book of Zechariah. Zechariah chapter 14, beginning at verse 1. And think about this in terms of the Lord gathering nations to Armageddon and gathering the nations to the valley of Jehoshaphat for judgment. Zechariah chapter 14, verse 1. Behold, a day is coming for the Lord. The day of the Lord. When the spoil taken from you will be divided among you, for I will gather all the nations against Jerusalem to battle, and the city will be captured and the houses plundered and the women ravished and half of the city exiled, but the rest of the people will not be cut off from the city. Then the Lord will go forth and fight against those nations. Who will? The Lord, Yahweh. As when he fights on a day of battle, in that day, his feet will stand on the Mount of Olives, which is in front of Jerusalem on the east. And the Mount of Olives will be split in its middle from east to west by a very large valley, so that half of the mountain will move toward the north and the other half toward the south. You will flee by the valley of my mountains, for the valley of the mountains will reach to Azel. Yes, you will flee just as you fled before the earthquake in the days of Uzziah, king of Judah. Then the Lord my God will come, and all the holy ones with him. It will come about in that day that there will be no light. The luminaries will dwindle, for it will be a unique day which is known to the Lord, neither day nor night, but it will come about that at evening time there will be light. Jesus comes and sets foot on the Mount of Olives, and the Mount of Olives will be split. You can see how this fits with what's going on in the book of Joel. The Lord gathering them to Jerusalem, and then the Lord himself fighting and judging. It's necessary then for the second coming of Jesus to have happened by that point. Jesus will be on earth. The valley of Jehoshaphat is not some space station way out there. It's not some place where people go off the planet. It is on earth. And Jesus will come to the earth. So this judgment, and we described it all in some detail last time, will be a judgment by Jesus on earth in the valley of Jehoshaphat on the south side of Jerusalem. At that time, there will be a global blackout, verse 15. The sun and moon grow dark and the stars lose their brightness. That is the verse that Jesus quotes in Matthew 24:29. And if you compare them, you will see that is the verse. There will be an end time blackout. Sun and moon grow dark. Stars lose their brightness on the day of the second coming of Jesus. And Zechariah 14 said the same thing. You just read it. So that judgment is coming and occurs at the end of the tribulation and is part of the day of the Lord, and Jesus is present for it. Now, beginning at verse 16 to the end of the book, we can see also Messiah is present on earth to rule his millennial kingdom. And it's important that we see this. Messiah is, will be, present on earth to rule his coming kingdom. The rule of Messiah in his kingdom is not Jesus ruling from heaven today. It's not. The rule of Messiah in his coming kingdom is Jesus ruling on earth from Jerusalem. Very important. You are not in the Messianic kingdom now. You are not. And yet, a vast, vast majority of evangelical pastors and teachers will teach you that you are. But you're not. You're not. Jesus is not ruling from Jerusalem right now. He's not. Jesus is in heaven at the right hand of his Father right now. He is. So this is talking about when he comes and when he will be ruling. So there are at least these seven features of the millennial kingdom with which Joel ends his prophecy. Now, this is not designed to tell you all the features of the millennial kingdom. There are lots more than what is here. Say, well, when are we going to look at those? The answer is read the entire Old Testament. Because they're all through it. But we're going to look at these tonight. Feature number one. Jesus will be living in Jerusalem on Mount Zion, reigning from there. Look at Joel 3:16. The Lord roars from where? Zion. He utters his voice from where? Jerusalem. The heavens and the earth tremble, but the Lord is a refuge to his people, a stronghold to the sons of Israel. Then you will know that I am the Lord your God, dwelling where? In Zion, my holy mountain. So where? Jerusalem will be holy. Look at verse 21. The Lord dwells where? In Zion. This isn't talking about heaven. This is talking about Mount Zion in Jerusalem. It's not talking about a heavenly Mount Zion. It's talking about the one that is there. Isaiah chapter 2. Verses 1 through 4. Isaiah makes it clear in the future kingdom the word which Isaiah the son of Amos saw concerning Judah and Jerusalem that will come about, that in the last days the mountain of the house of the Lord. Now what's that? That's the Temple Mount. That's Mount Zion. The mountain of the house of the Lord will be established as the chief of the mountains and will be raised above the hills. That is to say, there will be geographical changes at the beginning of the millennial kingdom. The elevation is going to change. And the end of verse 2, all the nations will stream to it. Many peoples will come and say, come, let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob, that he may teach us concerning his ways, and that we may walk in his paths. For the law will go forth from Zion, the word of the Lord from Jerusalem, and he will judge between the nations and render decisions for many peoples. And they will hammer their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. Nation will not lift up sword against nation, and never again will they learn or train for war. Must Messiah be on earth in Jerusalem for this to be happening? Yes. Obviously. So this is one of the things we see here in Joel 3. Messiah will come to earth and be on earth living in Jerusalem on Mount Zion, reigning from there. Feature number 2 of the millennial kingdom in Joel 3. There will be the regathering, the safety and protection for all of Judah and Israel. The whole country brought together. There won't be the northern kingdom and the southern kingdom. There will be one. It will be the regathering, the reuniting of Israel. Ezekiel prophesied it. Many throughout the Old Testament prophesied it. But chapter 3, verse 16 says, "The Lord is a refuge for his people and a stronghold to the sons of Israel." That's what he will be for Israel in the kingdom. Chapter 3, verse 20. "Judah will be inhabited forever, and Jerusalem for all generations." All of Judah inhabited, the people brought back, regathered. Now, again, there are dozens of other passages we could look at tonight. But let's just look at Isaiah again. Isaiah chapter 4, beginning at verse 2. Isaiah chapter 4, verse 2. "In that day," okay, are these references to the day starting to jump out at you when you read your Old Testament? They should. "In that day," the day of the Lord, "the branch of the Lord," Messiah, "will be beautiful and glorious, and the fruit of the earth will be the pride of the adornment of the survivors of Israel. It will come about that he who is left in Zion and remains in Jerusalem will be called holy. Everyone who is recorded for life in Jerusalem." This is the saved in or at the beginning of the millennial kingdom. Isaiah 4:4, "When the Lord has washed away the filth of the daughters of Zion and purged the bloodshed of Jerusalem from her midst, by the spirit of judgment and the spirit of burning." What will just have taken place? A judgment, a purging for Gentiles in the valley of Jehoshaphat and for Jews in the nearby wilderness. Jewish unbelievers will be purged out and will not enter into the millennial kingdom. But the believers will. Then, Isaiah 4:5, the Lord will create over the whole area of Mount Zion and over her assemblies a cloud by day, even smoke, and the brightness of a flaming fire by night, for over all the glory will be a canopy. The Shekinah glory will be present over the city of Jerusalem in the millennial kingdom as it was for Israel when they were wandering in the wilderness. The Shekinah glory of God. There will be a shelter to give them shade from the heat by day and refuge and protection from the storm and the rain. The glory of God will be covering the city. Isaiah chapter 65. Isaiah chapter 65, beginning at verse 17. This also is about the kingdom. Isaiah 65:17. For behold, I create new heavens and a new earth. The former things shall not be remembered or come to mind. But be glad and rejoice forever in what I create. For behold, I create Jerusalem for rejoicing and her people for gladness. I will also rejoice in Jerusalem and be glad in my people. And there will no longer be heard in her the voice of weeping and the sound of crying. No longer will there be in it an infant who lives but a few days, or an old man who does not live out his days. For the youth will die at the age of 100, and the one who does not reach the age of 100 shall be thought accursed. Wow. In the millennial kingdom, when someone dies at the age of 100, everybody goes, poor, accursed baby. At the age of 100. Why? Do you know how long everybody is supposed to live in the millennial kingdom? 1,000 years. That's not and by the way, in not yet glorified bodies. 1,000 years. Oh, that tells us something about the condition of the earth in the millennial kingdom. It will be something closer to the way it was in Eden and before the flood of Noah. Because don't you recall Genesis chapter 5? People did live 600, 700, 800, 900 years. Yeah. And people will again during the millennial kingdom. Isaiah 65 verse 21. They shall build houses and inhabit them. Do you know there will be building industry during the coming kingdom? Yeah, people will build houses, inhabit them. They shall also plant vineyards and eat their fruit. They shall not build and another inhabit. They shall not plant and another eat. For as the lifetime of a tree, so shall be the days of my people. Wow, people will be as old as trees. Say, could that be 1,000 years? You know, even now, there are some trees that are probably a good 2,000 years old. The lifetime of people will be like trees. My chosen one shall wear out the work of their hands. They shall not labor in vain or bear children for calamity, for they are the offspring of those blessed by the Lord, and their descendants with them. It will come to pass that before they call, I will answer, and while they are speaking, I will hear. The wolf and the lamb shall graze together, and the lion shall eat straw like the ox, and the dust shall be the serpent's food. They shall do no evil nor harm in all my holy mountain, says the Lord. The day of blessing, regathering, safety, protection for all of Judah and Israel is coming. That is the kingdom. Third feature in Joel. Joel 3:17, Jerusalem will be holy. It will be set apart. It will have a unique purpose because Jesus will be living there. It will not only be the capital of Israel, it will be the capital of the entire world. Jerusalem will be. Okay, I think you'll agree, but those who would say, we are already in the Messianic Kingdom, is Jerusalem holy tonight? Have you visited there? Have you seen news reports of some of what is going on in Jerusalem? Some of it is evil. Is Jerusalem considered the set-apart capital of the world tonight? No, it is mocked and put down. And again, this past week, the Palestinians have been shooting missiles at it. Verse 17 says, strangers will pass through no more. Well, that's certainly not true now. But it will be in the coming kingdom. Feature number 4. The climate will be changed. There will be abundant rain. Do you know rain, water, is considered at a premium in Israel? Oh, yeah. But in the millennial kingdom, there will be plenty of it. And lush vegetation, so that verse 18 says that in that day, this is now the millennial portion of the day of the Lord, mountains will drip with sweet wine. That is to say, the vines will be growing so well that there will be an abundance of it. Hills will flow with milk, and the brooks of Judah will flow with water. That time is coming. Isaiah talks about this kind of time also. Isaiah chapter 32, starting at verse 15, until the Spirit is poured out upon us from on high, and the wilderness becomes a fertile field, and the fertile field is considered as a forest. Then justice will dwell in the wilderness, and righteousness will abide in the fertile field, and the work of righteousness will be peace, and the service of righteousness, quietness, and confidence forever. Then my people will live in a peaceful habitation, and in secure dwellings, and in undisturbed resting places. And it will hail when the forest comes down, and the city will be utterly laid low. How blessed will you be, you who sow beside all the waters, who let out freely the ox and the donkey. Anything that is evil or questionable will be destroyed. Everything from God will be a blessing. Isaiah chapter 35, beginning at verse 1. The wilderness and the desert will be glad, and the Arabah will rejoice and blossom like the crocus. It will blossom profusely, and rejoice with rejoicing and shout of joy. The glory of Lebanon will be given to it, the majesty of Carmel and Sharon. They will see the glory of the Lord, the majesty of our God. Encourage the exhausted and strengthen the feeble. Say to those with anxious heart, take courage, fear not. Behold, your God will come with vengeance. The recompense of God will come, but he will save you. Then the eyes of the blind will be opened, the ears of the deaf will be unstopped. The lame will leap like a deer, and the tongue of the mute will shout for joy. For waters will break forth in the wilderness, and streams in the Arabah. The scorched land will become a pool, and the thirsty ground springs of water in the haunt of jackals, its resting place. Grass becomes reeds and rushes. A highway will be there, a roadway, and will be called the highway of holiness. The unclean will not travel on it, but it will be for him who walks that way, and fools will not wander it. No lion will be there, nor will any vicious beast go up on it. These will not be found there, but the redeemed will walk there. And the ransomed of the Lord will return and come with joyful shouting to Zion with everlasting joy upon their heads. They will find gladness and joy, and sorrow and sighing will flee away. Feature number 4 in Joel chapter 3, verse 18. A spring will flow as a river coming from the millennial temple. I'll notice in chapter 3, verse 18, a spring will go out from the house of the Lord. Okay? In order for it to be the Messianic kingdom, does there need to be Messiah's temple on the Temple Mount in Jerusalem? And the answer is yes. Is the temple on the Temple Mount in Jerusalem tonight? And the answer is no. It has not been there since AD 70. So can this be the Messianic kingdom? It can't be. In the Messianic kingdom, there will be Messiah's temple on the Temple Mount. And from the center of that temple, verse 18 says, a spring will go out. A spring will go out. Now, Joel is prophesying before Isaiah. So Joel didn't learn any of this stuff from Isaiah. Isaiah learned it from Joel. And Joel is prophesying before Ezekiel. So look at Ezekiel chapter 47. And remember, Joel didn't learn this from Ezekiel. Ezekiel learned it from Joel. Ezekiel chapter 47. Then he brought me back to the door of the house, and behold, water was flowing from under the threshold of the house toward the east, for the house faced east. And the water was flowing down from under, from the right side of the house, from south of the altar. He brought me out by way of the north gate and led me around on the outside of the outer gate by way of the gate that faces east. And behold, water was trickling from the south side. When the man went out toward the east with a line in his hand, he measured 1,000 cubits and led me through the water, water reaching the ankles. And he measured 1,000, again he measured 1,000 cubits and led me through the water, water reaching the knees. And again he measured 1,000 and led me through the water, water reaching the loins. And again he measured 1,000, and it was a river that I could not ford, for the water had risen enough water to swim in, a river that could not be forded. And he said to me, son of man, have you seen this? Then he brought me back to the bank of the river. Now when I had returned, behold, on the bank of the river, there were very many trees on the one side and on the other. Then he said to me, these waters go out toward the eastern region and go down into the Arabah. Then they go out toward the sea, being made to flow into the sea, and the waters of the sea become fresh. That is, Dead Sea, the Dead Sea water is made into fresh water. Ezekiel 47:9, it will come about that every living creature which swarms in every place where the river goes will live, and there will be very many fish. For these waters go there and the others become fresh, so everything will live where the river goes. And it will come about that the fishermen will stand beside it from En-Gedi to En-Eglaim, and there will be a place for the spreading of nets. Their fish will be according to their kinds, like the fish of the great sea, very many, but its swamps and marshes will not become fresh. They will be left for salt. By the river on its bank, on one side and on the other, will grow all kinds of trees for food. Their leaves will not wither, and their fruit will not fail. They will bear every month because their water flows from the sanctuary, and their fruit will be for food, and their leaves for healing. In the kingdom, this spring that begins in the temple, flows out, becomes a great river, and even flows into the Dead Sea. Okay, let me ask you today, does anybody go fishing in the Dead Sea? Fish can't live in the Dead Sea. In fact, if you go underwater too much and swallow too much of the water, you won't live either. Okay? The chemicals in it, it just would not allow it. Things don't live in it. But in the millennial kingdom, you can go fishing in the Dead Sea. Fishermen will spread their nets there. And En-Gedi is right along the edge of the sea. All of that Ezekiel names. Zechariah chapter 14, once again. Zechariah chapter 14, beginning at verse 8, and it will come about in that day that living waters will flow out of Jerusalem, half of them toward the eastern sea and the other half toward the western sea. It will be in summer as well as in winter, and the Lord will be king over all the earth. In that day, the Lord will be the only one, and his name, the only one. All the land will be changed into a plain from Geba to Ribon, south of Jerusalem. But Jerusalem will rise and remain on its site from Benjamin's gate as far as the place of the first gate to the corner gate, and from the tower of Hananel to the king's wine presses. People will live in it, and there will be no more curse, for Jerusalem will dwell in security. Jesus will be king. And he will be the only one. Zechariah says, in all the earth. Say, well, who else will be king of somewhere else? The answer is nobody. Jesus is king of the whole earth. Well, but what about other nations? Jesus is king of them too. All of them, the whole planet. Okay, is that true tonight? It isn't, is it? But it will be after the second coming of Jesus to the earth. He will be ruling. So, climate changed, lush vegetation, spring flowing out from the temple area. Joel 3, verses 19 through 21 now. Retribution will have been brought on Egypt and Edom because of their mistreatment of Judah throughout history. Yeah. Joel 3:19, Egypt will become a waste. Edom will become a desolate wilderness because of the violence done to the sons of Judah. Because they have been attacking, disagreeing with, picking on Judah throughout history, shedding innocent blood. But Judah will be inhabited, verse 20, Jerusalem. And verse 21, the Lord says, I will avenge their blood, which I have not avenged. Any of those that Egyptians and Edomites have killed will be avenged personally by Jesus, because they have done this. Remember last time we looked at Matthew chapter 25? Because Egypt and Edom had done this to the least of these, my brethren, Jesus would say. My fellow Jewish people. Therefore, vengeance will come upon Egypt and Edom. Will that vengeance be permanent? And the answer is no, it will not. Both Egypt and Edom will play significant roles in the coming future messianic kingdom. That's why in Daniel 11:41, the Antichrist is forbidden from taking Moab, Edom, and Ammon, because they will have a future role. In Zechariah 14, verses 18 through 19, Egypt will be commanded to come to Jerusalem in the kingdom for Passover. So Egypt will have a role. In Psalm 68, verses 29 through 31, Egypt will bring many gifts to Jerusalem for the decoration of the millennial temple. So this vengeance is not final, it's not eternal, but it is real, because Judah will be avenged. One last feature in Joel. Judah and Israel will know that Yahweh alone is their God, dwelling with them forever. Chapter 3, verse 17, you will know that I am the Lord your God. You will know that I am Yahweh, your Elohim. They will know that Yahweh is their God. And they will know that the Lord dwells with them in Zion. You know, it'll be wonderful that the conditions of the earth will be changed, lush vegetation, all of that, and the joys of these things happening. But the greatest joy of all, and I think this is what the prophet Joel is after in this book, the greatest joy of all is the realization that the Lord Himself is living where you live. That you will live forever, that He is your God, and that will never, ever again in the future change. Say, well, I'd be satisfied if I just got delivered from the locust invasion. Okay. But Joel says, there's much more for you than just being delivered from judgment. There is the very, very presence of God forever. And that's what Joel wants his readers to really get. This is about where you really are with the Lord. And the promise of the future is as great for you tonight as it is and will be for Israel in the future. Heavenly Father, we thank you for our journey through this book of Joel. It has not always been easy. Sometimes there's just been a lot to figure out. But Lord, in the end, we see the intent of the prophet Joel, and thus your intent for us in looking at and hearing this book. Lord, as we go forth tonight, we are reminded that the blessings of the coming kingdom that we too will share in, though in a different way than Israel, but we too will share in them. We look forward to those blessings and benefits. But before that, as Joel has warned us, the day of the Lord, the awesome, the terrible day of the Lord is near. And Lord, we realize as we go tonight that should the rapture occur and that first end time blackout occur, and should the coming of Elijah occur, probably all in the same moment, there will be many all around us left to face this great and terrible day of tribulation. A day of judgment, a day of famine, a day of pestilence, a day of disease, a day of war, a day of death. Lord, that is what is coming. That's what's coming for the world, including America. So, Lord, we have a message to tell. We have saving good news to tell. That people do not need to be left behind to face that day. They can be saved and can be raptured with us. Lord, may these thoughts grip us as we go tonight. And we pray in Jesus' name, amen.